Today's scripture reading is from John 5, 16 through 20, and you can find that on page 574 in your pew Bibles. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Just some thoughts on Father's Day, the origin of Father's Day. I don't know if you know this or not, but there was the first piece of legislation passed by Congress. The year was 1913. Also, Father's Day gained full popularity in the 60s, and the reason why it got so popular in the 60s was because of the ultimate Father's Day gift, which is the necktie. Now, when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day, here's an interesting statistic. Mother's Day still beats Father's Day when it comes to retail. In 2018, Mother's Day resulted in $23.6 billion in spending, while Father's Day-related sales are estimated at $14.3 billion. So, moms are still beating us. We just want a tie. Moms are getting jewelry. We'll live with a tie, right, Ben? He's got a nice tie on this morning. So just some ideas about Father's Day. Top Father's Day gifts. Well, we've already alerted all of us to the fact that ties are high up there. Coffee mugs are up there. Socks are really high on the list. Raise your hand if you got an amazing pair of socks. Anybody? One. He asked for them. That's impressive. I'm impressed. Very nice. So that's just a little bit of background on Father's Day. Also, some Father's Day humor. There were four men. See, they were in the hospital in the waiting room because their wives were having babies. And the nurse goes up to the first man and says, "Congratulations, you are the father of twins." And the man says, "That is so odd because I work for the Minnesota Twins." And then the nurse walks up to the second guy and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." He said, "That's weird. I work for the 3M company." The nurse then walks up to the third man and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." And he said, "That's so weird. I work for Four Seasons Hotel." Now the last man is groaning and he's banging his head against the wall. And she says, "Sir, what's wrong?" And he says, "I work for 7-Up. That's right. We could quit the sermon and it's all worth coming to church today just for that, right? Well, I was warned, I think with good reason, that we keep things nice and light on Mother's Day, very encouraging. But on Father's Day, us pastors can get maybe a little heavy-handed. And it was said in jest, but it really made me reflect a little bit and thought, you know, I don't think we need to beat up any dads today. I think we should take the same approach and be encouraging. So that's sort of what our aim is this morning. So with that, let us go to the Lord in prayer and we'll look at the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We thank you for your grace and love in our lives. We thank you for this opportunity that we have before us to hear the word, to be encouraged by it, to be convicted by it, that we may all be better believers, more in tune with the Father's heart than when we walked in here this morning. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing, obviously, I think that we should talk about when it comes to Father's Day is that children look to our cues about who they are, and they understand their lives through a father's eyes. We, as fathers and as parents, really shape the identity of our children. And so it's just simply stated that good fathers set the example for their children. Good fathers set the example for their children. Our kids are like walking sponges. They're listening, they're watching, they're looking at our faces for cues about who they are, not just about what they should be doing, but about who they are. They're looking at these messages so they can soak them up. And what happens is they internalize these messages. And I remember, actually, John Burkett shared this book with me a while ago. It's by a doctor. Her name is Dr. Meg Meeker, and she wrote a book called Hero. I would highly recommend it for all parents. It's directed at fathers, and the point of the book is highlighting the importance as fathers. And one of the things that she notes is that on television today, and for years this has been going on, there's been sort of a bashing and putting down of fathers. The dad is always, you know, the brunt of the joke, or he's always the stupid one in the scene. And then we see this a lot on television, and her book and her research has found that that has had bad or negative effects on children when they view their fathers that way. And so she argues that every good parent, especially a father setting the tone for the family, really will have three questions. And these three questions are what every child is looking for out of their father. And here are the three questions that she lists. Now, if I were you, I would write these questions down because they're very important. Here's what every child wants to understand from their father. And the first question is, Dad, how do you really feel about me? How do you feel about me? The second is, Dad, what do you believe about me? And the third is, what are your hopes for me? What are your hopes? So how do you feel about me? What do you believe about me? And what are your hopes for me? So how important is your influence over your children? Because the bottom line, that's really what this is about. It's influence. And when it comes to being a father, there's really three categories. There's, first and foremost, a positive example. You can be a positive example in the lives of your children. But then, unfortunately, there's the other spectrum, which is you can be a negative influence in your children's lives. And then also, there's you can be an absent influence in your children's lives. You see, two out of the three are negative. So you have a positive, a negative, but an absent. So I want to walk through how this works in our lives. The book of Proverbs speaks a little bit about the positive. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says this: A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Let me read that again. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. You know, when we think about that verse, it's really about setting a tone in the life of your family. Imagine the father being out in front, blazing a trail. And it's the family that's walking there, following this trail. It's the father that sets the tone. And the children will then walk in that example. You see, learning is not taught as much as it is caught. In other words, kids are watching and observing the lives of their parents. And since it's Father's Day, we're going to talk about fathers. So learning is not as much taught as it is caught. You can go out and tell your children everything in the world, but what's even stronger than that, of course, is the example that you set for your children. And that's exactly what the book of Proverbs is teaching, is that you as a father will set the tone for your family, that your children will walk after you in your ways. So I want to tell you a story relating back to this Meg Meeker. She tells a story and it's moving, and I don't want to get it wrong. She says that when she was 21, she applied to many medical schools and she was rejected by each one. And she says this, she said, I felt so disappointed. And when I went to live with my parents after, I figured out I was going to be living on Plan B, she says. And then she says, one evening I passed by my father's study and overheard him talking to a friend on the phone. And she said, I heard him say these words, my daughter Meg will be going to medical school in the next couple of years. And she said, I was stunned and I was thrilled. But more profoundly, I felt in that moment that if my dad was going to believe in me, then it was a done deal. That's the power of a father's words. His words changed my life. She said that that was a 20-second conversation she heard. And she said that she even brought it up later to her dad, and he doesn't even remember having this conversation. But she says that that 20 seconds changed her life. And she went on, of course, to be a doctor and to write many influential, wonderful Christian books. And see, that's really the power of our words. Going back to Proverbs in chapter 15, verse 4, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. What a contrast. Two different things. As a father, you have to be very careful of the words you speak, not just to your children, but to your wives or to other people, because you see, your words can give life. It's like setting sail, and there's a beautiful, powerful wind that comes and picks up the sail and moves you right along. It gives life. But cruel words, notice, crush your spirit. I don't even need to get into the details of that. It's clear to all of us. Crush your spirit. I've known kids and friends. I've watched this thing happen. I've watched that. Words can crush a spirit, but they can also give life. So some of us in this room can only look back, but some of us in this room have young ones that we can control the destiny of our lives, of the children's lives. We can control the destiny of how we're speaking in front of our children. And it's important that we bring life to our children, that we bring life through our words. And we saw a beautiful example right here in the author's life. Those words that her father spoke gave her sails and went on and changed the direction of her life. So there's the positive, but let's think about the negative or the absent. I would submit to you all this morning that there is a crisis in America. There is a crisis in America. Listen to this. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 24 million children in America, 24 million, that's one out of three, live without their biological father in the home. Now, we just hear that number, but attached to that number are startling statistics. Statistics like this. Children in father-absent homes are almost four times more likely to be poor. They're more likely to suffer emotional and behavioral problems. They're more likely to go to prison. One in five prison inmates had a father in prison. They're more likely to commit crime, abuse drugs, and drop out of school. In fact, I remember when I was going through the ordination process, and just before I was ordained, our presbytery meeting was at Westminster College. And usually when it's there, it attracts the biggest amount of people that would attend. And they prime you for kind of general questions you're going to get asked. Someone can stand up from the floor and ask you any question, but usually they're theological. But there was one question that I was waiting for, anticipating, for someone to ask, which was something on the lines of, what in your estimation is the biggest problem facing the church today? I thought that would be a question that they would ask someone going into ministry. They didn't ask me that question, but my answer today is still the answer on that day, and it's fathers. That's the biggest problem. And you think, well, what does that mean? I think we're blessed in this church. There's a lot of fathers, but I'm here to tell you that when you visit other churches, there's not a lot of males in the church. And if they are, they're on the sideline. It's the wives doing all the work. That's not the picture the Bible gives. That's not what should be going on. And so I think fathers being an example in the lives of their children, especially when it comes to faith, is so very, very important. So how does this happen? It's something fascinating. It's called the looking glass self. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this before, but the looking glass self is a concept that was coined like in 1902. And the looking glass self is this idea. It's that each person's self grows out of a person's social interactions with others. It says the view of ourselves comes from our contemplation of our personal relationships and impressions of how others perceive us. So, in other words, how we see ourselves does not come from who we really are, but rather from how we believe others see us. That's just a really smart and fancy way to say we become who our most important people tell us we are. And do you want to know who the most important people in our lives are? It's not the TV, it's not the sports players, it's not our friends, it's not our musical heroes. It's our mothers and our fathers. Our mothers and our fathers. So the looking glass self is just saying we will become a reflection of those around us that have the most influence. And when mom believes in you and when dad believes in you, it changes everything. Let's go back to John chapter 5 for a moment. Here Jesus is being challenged by the Pharisees. And he says, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does also in the like manner." What is that about? It's about being a model, an example. Everyone was upset with Jesus, and he looks at them and says, if you're mad at me, you're really mad at the Father, because I do nothing on my own initiative. In fact, everything you see me doing right now, I'm just mirroring what the Father's doing. And that is exactly what we're doing this morning. We're setting the tone as the father of the household, because the family will follow in tune. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And so some of us who did not have a father or had a negative influence in their lives, it's important for us, because if we're sitting here this morning, one of the things we want to do is be a positive influence. But we may be questioning, how do I do that? I didn't have a positive influence. And here's my recommendation. Find someone ahead of you that has done it well. Find someone ahead of you that has done it well. We're not all good at everything. The book of Proverbs says, without counsel, plans fail, but with the counsel of many, plans will succeed. Look, there are some of us in here that are bad with money. You don't have to be good with money, but find someone that is and learn from them. And it's the same idea with fatherhood. It's the same idea with parenting. If you didn't have a good example, find someone that is. Mirror them, mimic them, and in that way you will bless your family. You have to seek counsel. You know, many guys were notorious for if we're lost. I'm not saying anyone in this room, but, you know, you get lost and you drive around for minutes and then hours and you never ask for directions. I don't know if anyone in here ever does that. And I will tell you in full disclosure, I'm not that guy, okay? I will ask everyone I see for directions. Any person on the road, I will put on the window, okay? And they'll see me like a half hour later because just a note, never, I will get you lost. I will take a detour through Arkansas to get to the road right over here on the right. It's really bad. But some parents, some fathers, whether it's ego or another reason, don't be that guy. If there's something you're not good at, especially as a father, find other dads that are doing it well. Set up play dates. Get around them. And you will start to learn from them. And your children will be blessed. And then finally, Jesus says he sees what the Father is doing. Now notice this. The word is see, not hear. He's observed his Father. Where did he see his Father working? Well, all through the Old Testament, we see the mighty acts of God. He didn't say, I heard my Father. He watched his Father. And your children want to see your faith. You are the example. And the chances of your faith becoming their faith becomes a bigger reality when they watch you live your life. That's why you read verses like this. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in deed and truth. Think of that for a moment. He's saying, live your faith in front of your family, whether it's the family of God or your own faith. Live out your faith. Be the example. Be the model. So the question that your children are asking you is this: is Dad's faith real? At the end of the day, your children are watching you, and the question they're asking is his faith real? And the best way to do that is not by talking about it, but by living it. There was a pastor in our presbytery that has moved on since, and I was interacting with him on Facebook, and I came across something that I want to conclude with. It was nothing that he wrote. It's something that his daughter wrote. It was a great picture, and she was standing there smiling, and he was sitting there smiling, and here's what she wrote under this, and this wasn't for Father's Day. This was just a random post. She said, like father, like daughter, we are sporting our new shirts from Good Word. Word is in Word of God. Grateful for a father who taught me to be brave and showed me what it looks like to be strong. Being a strong and brave woman feels scary and comes with many challenges, but I never have to feel ashamed for how I have been created and what I'm called to do. My parents were the first to show me that kind of love. I am so thankful for a father who relies on our Heavenly Father as his source of strength in times of trial and teaches me to do the same. What a testimony. What a testimony. In my life, and I think you already know this, first and foremost, my ministry, two kids, Isabella and Carmen, they'll always be my first ministry. And that's the way it should be in your own life. There's no greater job, no greater calling than to be a great father, to be a godly father, and leave a great legacy for your children. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your love in our lives. And Lord, may this Sunday service be an encouragement for us. I don't want anyone to walk away feeling discouraged or down, but to be encouraged because we are all here. We are here and we are growing. So help us to live after your model and press on our hearts the ministry that you've called us to. The primary ministry of raising children that would love you, and that starts with her own model and example. We're thankful for this in Jesus' name. Amen.